Now we come today to a part of Paul's letter that is of tremendous significance and relevance to us. This latter part of the chapter is really a consequence of the first part. And we looked at the first part last Lord's Day, where we saw how Paul set out the exclusiveness of the gospel. He uses the Jews as an illustration. There they are in their zeal, in their religious zeal, in their allegiance to all their religious ceremonies. There were no more zealous, no more enthusiastic, no more committed than the Jews in all their religious observances. And yet Paul says they're not saved. And they're not saved because they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They have not submitted themselves to God's way of salvation. And so he goes on to expound the exclusiveness of the gospel. There is only one way of salvation. And that way of salvation is found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And it is obtained and received by faith alone, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ alone and the work that he has accomplished in his life and in his death. And in his resurrection, this is an exclusive gospel. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then, having described the exclusiveness of the gospel, he identifies the inclusiveness of the gospel. This gospel of salvation is offered to all men, whether they be Jew or Greek. No matter what their background, their nationality, no matter what their social standing might be, no matter what their degree of sinfulness might be, this gospel is offered to all men, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How great this invitation is! How wide this invitation is. It takes in every individual in this world. When Paul says in verse 13, whosoever shall call, it means anybody. Anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is an inclusive gospel, an inclusive salvation. Now, having stated these facts, Paul then asks this question in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they call? How shall they be brought into the blessing of this salvation, which is found only in Jesus Christ, believing in him? How shall they be saved unless they hear the gospel, unless somebody goes and tells them the message of salvation? Now here is the application. Here is the point of significance. Here is what makes this passage relevant for us this morning as individual Christians and as a collective body of believers in Jesus Christ. These questions are rhetorical. In other words, Paul isn't looking to us to give the answer. He's giving the answer in the very question. The question answers itself. When he says here, how shall they call? The answer is, they will only call when somebody goes with the gospel and tells them about the Savior. And only then will they hear. And only then will God accomplish his great global purpose in redemption. It is through the preaching of the gospel to every creature that he will call and gather a people unto himself. A people that will be saved for all eternity. Paul is really setting in place here. He's highlighting the method. The method that God will employ chiefly to accomplish his redemptive purpose. It is through the preaching of the gospel. Now what Paul says in these verses is relevant for two reasons. It's relevant first of all because it shows us what our aim should be, what our purpose, what our task as Christians in a local church assembly, what our purpose, what our obligation ought to be as we meet together in this fashion, as we live in this locality. This ought to be our purpose. This ought to be our aim. This ought to be our burden. How shall they hear unless somebody goes and tells them? They'll not be saved unless they hear the gospel. And it is our task, and not only a task, but it is our privilege to go with the gospel. That's our purpose. That's why the Lord has left us here upon this earth. Ask yourself this morning, if Jesus Christ died to redeem me, to bring me to everlasting glory, that I might be fully sanctified and conformed to his image, why did he not do that the day that he saved me? Why did he not bring me straight away to heaven? Why has he left me here on this earth? He has left his people on this earth in order that they will go and preach the gospel and witness for him. And so this is relevant to us. Paul is setting out here what we should be doing as a church. But it's relevant for a second reason. And that reason stems from the tendency that there is today to move away from God's method, from God's appointed way. I don't think I need to labor the point, because the evidence is all around us in religious circles that there is a great shift away from the preaching of the Word of God. The cry is, we need something else. We need something else. And consequently, there is a disdain for preaching today. Many churches have moved away from it. And they have crowded out the preaching of the Word of God with all kinds of other methods and all kinds of other gimmicks, all designed to attract and appeal to a fallen world. But the Word of God teaches us that God will accomplish this great task, this great purpose of redemption, through sending preachers to tell the people. And through that, faith will be born in the hearts of men and women, and they will be brought to Jesus Christ. So there is a relevance for us, not only in relation to what we should be engaged in, but there's a relevance also because we're seeing so many in religious circles moving away from this. Moving away from it. To the extent that in some places there's very little preaching. It's maybe fitted in at the end, 10 or 15 minutes, and it's just a wee word. And the preaching of the Word of God has been cast aside. But isn't it interesting here, when Paul says this gospel is for all men, if they call, how will they call? They'll only call when they hear, the word preached, the gospel preached. This is God's method. And if we're serious about doing God's will, then we should be seeking to find out what the will of God is for us, and setting ourselves to that purpose and to that task. I want us to consider here what Paul is saying to us in relation to what the Lord has called us to do. Are we just going to drift down the stream of popular opinion and popular notions? Or are we going to come to the Bible and find out what God's way is and what God's will is, and follow the will of God and follow the way of God? Well, here we have God's answer. God's answer is given to us in this latter part of the chapter. You'll notice in the first place that in answering this, The apostle identifies the necessity of a preaching ministry. That's what Paul is doing here. He's establishing the necessity of the preaching ministry. This is God's way. This is the way that he has chosen and appointed to bring sinners unto himself. Look at his reasoning here in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? They only call if they believe. But how shall they believe? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How will they believe on Christ if they've never heard about him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, you have three persons there. You have the sinner who needs salvation, who needs to hear the gospel. Then you've got the church that is saved, who must be engaged in the preaching. And then you have God, who sends the preacher. And what Paul is doing here is establishing the fact this is what God has appointed. I turn over to 1 Corinthians, just a few pages, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, and connect this with what Paul says to the Corinthian church. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." This method, it arises from two things. It arises, first of all, from God's pleasure. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And secondly, from the wisdom of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This method arises out of God's pleasure, and it arises out of his wisdom. Now, isn't it interesting that so many today are wanting to move away from this method? And what they're doing is they're saying, we know better than God. We are wiser than God. But God was pleased out of his wisdom to choose the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. That means that in the eyes of the world, the preaching is a foolish thing. The preaching of this message that is proclaimed, is foolish. But God has chosen this. God has chosen this. He's chosen this as the means of imparting the knowledge of salvation, of showing a man, a woman, a young person, how a person may be saved from his sin and have peace with God. God has chosen this way to impart that knowledge. Now, he could have chosen 100 other things. I think the greatest example of that is found in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 brings us to the house of Cornelius. And there we have a Gentile who was religious, who prayed and gave alms. And he saw in a vision, verse 3 of Acts 10, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God, and now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, stop and ask yourself, why did the angel not tell him the way of salvation? But in this vision, the angel appears, and he says, go and call for Simon Peter. And he'll tell you what you have to do. And when Simon Peter rehearsed the whole episode in chapter 11 and verse 13, he says there, relating this, he said, Cornelius showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now he wasn't saved, he needed to be saved. And the only way that he could be saved was by hearing the gospel, and the angel appears in a vision and says, go and send for Simon Peter, and he will tell thee. And surely the Lord is emphasizing there that he has chosen out of his pleasure and his wisdom this method. God could use 100 other ways to bring sinners to salvation, but he has chosen this way. This way. Now that is not to say there are exceptions to the rule. A person may be brought to Christ through reading a tract. Or reading the Bible. We have many electronic means today available for communicating and sounding out the Word of God. But chiefly, we do not restrict the sovereign God, but neither do we ignore the way that He has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is God's way. This is God's way. But what is meant here by this term preaching? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 10 again. And the verse 15 is a very interesting verse because it contains this word preached twice. But in the original Greek scripture, we have two different Greek words that are translated here with the same English word. You see there in verse 15, how shall they preach? That is the Greek word charuso, which means to herald or proclaim. The idea is of standing before an audience like I am doing this morning and proclaiming the word of God. But then look at the latter part of that verse, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The word preach there is the translation of the word that we would know as evangelize. It's a completely different Greek word. There's a very important distinction being made there, because that word evangelize is the obligation of every believer. It simply means telling forth or speaking in conversation to somebody the gospel. Not standing up in front of an audience and publicly declaring, but more a private, personal conversation. Let me illustrate it. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we find there the great persecution that came upon the church at Jerusalem. They were spread abroad. And we're told that they went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That's the Greek word evangelize. But look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That's the word charuso, which means to publicly herald and proclaim. And what I want you to notice here is that they who were scattered abroad were the people of God, the Christians. And they were going evangelizing, telling the people of Christ in their day-to-day conversation. But Philip was the one who stood up and proclaimed the gospel to the city of Samaria. If you come down the chapter a little to the verse 35, the Lord took Philip out of that setting into the wilderness to a chariot in which an Ethiopian eunuch was sitting. He was reading the prophecy of Isaiah. And we're told there in verse 30 that Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. That's the Greek word evangelize. In verse 5, he is publicly proclaiming. But now, with this individual Ethiopian, he is evangelizing. It is our task, every Christian here, to evangelize, to tell others about the Savior who the Lord brings us into contact with. But then there is also this other method, this public proclaiming, this public proclamation and heralding forth of the gospel. And God has appointed, you see, this day to bring men and women to the knowledge of salvation. Isn't it interesting here? When you take this Ethiopian, he had the Bible. He had the Old Testament scriptures, but he didn't understand what he was reading. He needed somebody to come and tell him, to explain it. This is what God has chosen. He has chosen to send us individually to evangelize, to explain. He has also chosen the public ministry of preaching to explain the Word of God. He needed somebody to explain the scriptures. There's the necessity of the preaching ministry. You know, modern translations of the Bible are very much based on the desire to do away with preaching. It's a result of this tendency to do away with the preaching, the public preaching of the Word of God. And what people are saying is, we want a Bible that we can understand. These terms, justification and sanctification, we don't understand them, and we need a Bible that will make us understand. Here was the Ethiopian, and he didn't understand what he was reading. He needed somebody to come and teach. And let me say to you today, in the English language, we don't need a modern translation. We have the most accurate and most reliable translation of the Word of God in the English language, in our authorized version. We don't need a new translation. What we need is the public preaching ministry of the Word of God that explains what the Bible says. For that's what God has appointed. Let me show you in the book of Nehemiah, if you turn to chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And the verse 8 of that chapter, Nehemiah. You'll find it just a few books before the book of Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 8, there's a great assembly has been brought together in Jerusalem in the streets. And Ezra the scribe is there with the book of the law of Moses. And we find that the priest stood up to teach the people. Verse 7. Also Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub and Shabbathai and Hodijai and Masi and Kalita and Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Aren't you glad you're not in the Old Testament dispensation? You'd have to stand for the preaching. Isn't it a good job with nice comfortable pews to sit on? Especially when the preacher goes a bit long. Notice what's happening here. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They needed a teaching ministry, and the Levites in the Old Testament dispensation were established by the Lord not only to offer sacrifices, but to teach the law to the people that they might understand the Word of God. And that is exactly the same principle in the New Testament. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Lord has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. This is necessary. This ministry. It's necessary for sinners to hear the gospel, and it's necessary for believers to be built up in their understanding of the Word of God. This is God's method. And God has been pleased to appoint this. So the apostle establishes the necessity of the preaching ministry. But then secondly, he establishes the authority of the preaching ministry. Having established the method that God has chosen, Paul shows us next that God sends men to preach. He sends men to preach. Now, I don't want so much to focus on the idea of evangelism that every believer is to be engaged in. We're all to bear witness for Christ. But I want us to focus primarily on this public office of preaching. How shall they preach Caruso except they be sent? They must be sent. God calls men and he sends them to preach his word. Now this is something that we should hold to as a doctrine. This should be our belief. The Lord Jesus called the apostles and he sent them forth. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves." In John 17 and verse 18, praying to his Father, he says, "Even as thou hast sent me, so have I sent them." I have sent them. Men sent of God. You know what the church needs today? You know what the world needs today? It needs men that are sent by God to preach the gospel. You see, the Lord, when he called Paul in Acts chapter 26, Paul gives his testimony. He tells of that day when the Lord met him. And the Lord said to him, "Stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." Paul was a man sent by God to preach the gospel. He was sent by the Lord, commissioned to deliver the Lord's message. Look again at Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. "How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." They're given a message to preach. It is the message of peace. In other words, God's terms upon which he will be at peace with sinful men. The preacher delivers God's terms. There is no negotiation. It's not the preacher's business to present his own opinions. It's the preacher's business to bring the message that God has sent him to deliver. He comes with the word of God, with God's message. And God's terms upon which he, a holy God, offended by the sin of fallen man, will enter into that saving union with sinners. That term of peace is by the blood of the cross. There's no other way. But notice this is what I want you to notice here. These men that are sent by the Lord with the Lord's message have a divine authority for their preaching. Look at what the Lord says in verse 21 of this chapter. Romans 10. "But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and insane people." Let me take out that little phrase. "I have stretched forth my hands." That's the Lord. And the picture is here of the Lord calling Israel. But how did he call Israel? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles, the last chapter of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 36. And the verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers said to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. The Lord stood all the day, rising up early, and standing all the day, calling to Israel. How did he do it? By his messengers. By his messengers. He sent these men. And that principle is the same in the New Testament. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks here about the ministry of reconciliation. How God will be reconciled to sinners. And he says there in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. See, Paul says, I'm an ambassador. I don't come with my own message. I don't come with my own terms, my own opinions. An ambassador is sent on behalf of the king that he serves. And he brings the message of his king. It's not his business to change the terms. But I want you to notice what Paul is saying here. When that man comes, it is the Lord coming through that man and by that man. As though God did beseech you by us. And every time that we are preaching services in this house of God, it is the Lord who is standing. It is the Lord who is stretching forth his hands. It is the Lord who is speaking through his word, through the preaching of the gospel, calling sinners. Calling sinners. That they might be saved. That they might be reconciled to him. All the day long I have stood. See, the Lord said to his disciples in John chapter 13, in verse 20, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. The Lord is saying, I'm sending men forth. They're my ambassadors. They go with my message. And if they are received, then those people, it's not so much the ambassador that they have received. It is me. It is me. This is the authority of this preaching ministry. And surely when we think about that, it should really govern and transform the way that we come to church. You come to church this morning just out of routine, out of habit. Or do you come to church to hear what the Lord will say to you? You remember little Samuel as a child? When the Lord called him in the night and he didn't know what it was, and Eli said to him, he said, go and lie down. And if he called thee again, if he called thee again, this is what you're to say, speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. Oh, you know that little word if. That little word if is so pregnant with truth. If he call me again. Could it be that the Lord has been calling from this pulpit week after week, month after month, year after year, and yet there may come a time when he will not call again. See, when you come to this house of God, You're not coming to hear a mere man's opinion. I'm not here of my own choice or volition. The Lord sent me here. That's the only reason I'm here. And He sent me to preach this book, this word. It's the message that my Lord has given to me. When you come to this house of God, I encourage you to come the way that Eli instructed Samuel. If He call me again, say unto Him, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Come to this house of God to hear what God the Lord will say to you. To hear what God will direct you to do. Come with that attitude. Come with that preparation. Come with that prayer. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me and make me hear. Because God has appointed this way. God has appointed this. Our time has gone, but very quickly in closing, let me emphasize the responsibility of the preaching ministry. Yes, there's a responsibility upon the men that God sends. They're responsible to deliver the message the Lord has given them to deliver. But there's also a responsibility upon those who hear. And that responsibility is first of all to submit to God's truth. Look what Paul says here when he talks about God sending forth preachers of the gospel in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. There are those who have not submitted. The Jews, to a large degree as a nation, had not submitted to the truth of the gospel. They had the greatest preacher that God could ever send. He sent His own Son. And they nailed Him to a cross. They despised His word. Listen. Submit to the word of God. For here He sets before us the way of salvation. And as believers, the way that we ought to live for Him and serve Him. Never take the preaching of the Word of God lightly. But submit to God's truth. And then support the preaching of the Word. Here is God's method, God's way of imparting the way of salvation. Of helping us as believers to understand the will of God. Surely it stands to reason then that we should support the preaching ministry of the Word of God. We should support that by our attendance in the house of God when the King sends His message. We should be here to hear. We should be here to hear what the King has to say from His word. We support the preaching ministry. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, by our tithing, Paul says there, taking an illustration from the Old Testament priesthood, verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar, even so are in like manner, in the same way, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. He says, I send men as my ambassadors to preach the word of God, and it is your responsibility to attend the preaching of the word, and to support it with your tithing. That is the will of God. That is God's way. Maybe, you know, maybe this tendency to drift away from preaching, maybe it stems from a desire not to tithe. If we have no preaching, then we have no preacher to support in a physical way. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But I do know this is God's way. Submit to the word preached. Support the ministry. And then supplicate. Pray. for the preaching of the Word of God. You will find repeatedly the apostle requesting prayer for himself. Let me just read you what he says in Ephesians 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's asking prayer specifically for his position as an ambassador, one who hurls the word of God to men. And he's asking for prayer. Pray for me. And you go through his epistles and time again, he's saying, pray for me. Pray for me. You've got to pray for the preaching of the word. You've got to pray. Gotta pray that God will make the word effective in the hearts of sinners. And we've got to pray that the Lord will send forth preachers. Remember what the Lord said, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white already to harvest. But the laborers are few. Praise therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray that he will send them forth. We don't need new programs. We don't need new gimmicks. We need preachers sent forth. That's what this country needs. That's what this nation needs. Men that are raised up and sent forth by the Lord, who are supported by the people of God in their praying, in their attendance, in their tithing and giving, that the gospel will go forth. For how shall they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? And we need to pray that God will make the word effective. They don't all obey the gospel. Just because they hear doesn't mean to say they'll be saved. Many have heard and yet they've not obeyed. We've got to pray that God will take up the word that is preached and make it effective in the hearts of men. This is God's way. This is God's way. Do we as a church want to go God's way? I trust we do. I pray we do. Well then, whatever the tendencies are in this world and in other religious circles, let us gravitate to the Word of God. And let us submit our reasoning and our understanding to what God says. And let us do the will of God with all our heart. Let us be a church that focuses on the preaching of the word. Oh, there's other things that supplement the preaching, but they are not a substitute for it. And they must never be a substitute for God's way. Oh, let's go through with God and let us seek God that he will send men to preach the gospel. And not only that he will send men in that public way, let us pray that he will send us in a personal way to evangelize and tell others about the Savior. Let's turn to 244. The gospel bells are ringing over land from sea to sea. Blessed news of free salvation do they offer you and me. For God so loved the world that his only Son he gave. Whosoever believeth in him, everlasting life shall have. 244 will stand as we sing.
Oh,
thing that we're getting. It's difficult. The last two lines in the hymn are difficult. But we'll get there. Second verse.